Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Welcome back. And I say that with a smile because most of our podcast listeners are returnees. This is you, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast, radio show it used to be, so I slip into that. We're always on RadioMD.com. This is 832. You can get most of the past podcasts and radio shows at RadioMD.com. Go to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show or You, the Owner's Manual Podcast button. Press it and you can go all the way back, I think, to 2001. 832 is, and we have great guests coming up. The first guest is someone who wrote a very difficult article. Ron Powers wrote a very difficult book, No One Cares About Crazy People. We'll hear from him in about 15 minutes. Next week, I always tweak this, but next week we also have an outstanding guest, Meredith Wadman, The Vaccine Race, talking about how we got vaccine development in America and why it is so much safer than it used to be, as well as the history of it and why I think people had to be rogue to progress well in medicine. In the past, we've had Dr. Joseph Mercola, 815, Leslie Mickelson, The Patient's Playbook, Finding the No Mistake Zone, and Karen Louise Herbst, 817 and 818. One of my favorites is, of course, Jean Chatsky, 824 and 825. She talked about Age Proof, the book that we just published. She and I called Age Proof, Living Longer Without Running Out of Money or Breaking a Hip. And another one of my favorites, actually, I've got to tell you that this is 814 and 816. I rarely give someone two this close, but Charles Hennekins, who is the first Sir Richard Dow Professor and Senior Academic Advisor to the Dean at the Charles E. Schmidt College of Medicine, Florida Atlantic University. Forget the titles. What you got to do is go to 814 and 816. He is one of the pioneers in inflammation and kind of a rogue amongst himself, as he was, to get where he was able to do so much for medicine and for the rest of us. Let's talk about 832. The order I'm going to follow on 832 is the first story I'd like to talk about is wellness foreplay. Get your multis. Vitamin B is an unlikely weapon in the war against pollution, a new study suggests. That's right. This is such a weird thing. They gave people in this randomized controlled study, that's right, it's the gold, if you will, the gold quality of studies, the ideal way you do a study to prove something, a randomized controlled study, and that was a vitamin B against pollution. And how did they do it? And well, first it was 10 volunteers were exposed to clean air, given a placebo to check their baseline responses, and then were exposed to air with pollutants in the range of PM2.5, which is the size of particles, and it was 2.5 microns, which cause inflammation. And they gave them either a multivitamin or not, and the multivitamin had B vitamins in it in about the normal size. And you've got to keep telling me if I'm doing something wrong, Sonar, because I think I'm doing it right. So Sonar is our engineer. And they gave them in this randomized controlled trial, and they found that 4 weeks of B vitamin supplements reduced the damage to PM2.5 exposures by about 50%, which is just remarkable. And you say, why do multivitamins decrease heart disease and stroke? Why do they decrease cancer risk? Why do they decrease risk of mental dysfunction? You can pose different things for different things, but maybe it's all that these B vitamins and the multivitamin decreases inflammation responses to something we all breathe in, particles, small particles. So maybe it's all that. We don't know. But in any case, get your multivitamin, half of it in the morning, half in the evening, every day. Decreases your risk of cancer if you're a 50-year-old man over the next 20 years by 18%. Decreases the risk of heart disease and stroke, again, if you're a 50-year-old man over the next 20 years, by 25%. Decreases your risk of brain dysfunction by about 25% as well, and decreases your risk of dying of any cause or being hospitalized of any cause by about 20 to 25% again. So whatever you're doing, take half of a multivitamin morning and night. It's the cheapest protection you can possibly get. Is there a difference in multivitamins? Well, you're going to have to tune in next week to find out about that. But that's our story for this week, or one of our leads on multivitamins. Another one, vitamin B. So that was called vitamin B is an unlikely weapon. But the next one is, in fact, something about loud sounds. What do we say about loud sounds? Well, if you will, loud sounds may pose a much greater harm risk to you than we ever thought. What's the data? Well, scientists have been finding evidence that loud noise, just one episode of it from rock concerts or leaf blowers or power tools or gunfire, damages your hearing in a unsuspected way, previously unsuspected way, that may not be noticeable, but as you get older, it shows up. Why? Well, you need a certain number of hair cells to hear well. And this knocks out a few hair cells, but when you're young and get this loud noise, no big deal because you got a lot of hair cells. But when you get older, those extra hair cells you knocked out gives you much more inability to hear, much more inability to discern sounds, much more difficulty understanding speech, especially in noisy environments. So that's the problem. You're here trying to hear things in noisy environments, and you can't do it because of loud noises. What's the message? No matter how old you are, and this affects the old even more than the young, no matter how old you are, wear those earplugs when you go in loud noise areas. For rock concerts, even maybe basketball games, you should be wearing earplugs some of the time. I would do it during the timeouts, especially when you don't have to hear anything. When you're during the game, they usually don't have loud noises. It's just during the timeouts and the breaks between quarters and at halftime where the loud noise is in basketball games. But I would urge you to do that. Maybe they should even have on their board those who are hearing sensitive should wear earplugs now. Let's go to another story. Those are the top two stories of the week for podcast 832, and that's the one you're listening to. Your kids aren't killing you, and one day they may help you live longer. What's that story about? Well, it is that although we all think of kids, you know, you say, you're going to kill me, you're going to kill me. Well, it turns out that kids allow you to live longer. And this is a study, epidemiologic study, looking at women who had kids and men who had kids and how long they live. And it turns out that single women, that is women who even single or married women who are 6 years old, if they have children, will live to about 86 compared to about 83 for those who don't have children. So it's about a 2+ year benefit. And men, same thing. Men will live to, 6-year-old men live to about 80 if they have kids. And if they don't have kids, to about 78 on average. So we don't know why. It may seem counterintuitive with the stress kids caused you when they were young, but as you get older, kids are a benefit. There are lots of reasons that are postulated, but even when you factor out the exercise you do, the difference in diets you do, the difference in smoking rates, the difference in everything else we know of, just having kids does provide a longevity benefit. So congratulations if you had kids. If you didn't, I don't know what to say, but do other things so you'll live longer. There was a story a couple weeks ago, I think I did this on podcast 830 and said I wanted to talk to the people involved in investigating this. I have done that and looked at it, and that was losing sight after stem cells are injected into your eye. Now, don't, as this one article said, don't conflate stem cell medicine with the failed Florida experiment. That is, adult stem cells don't have the healing power of pluripotent or embryonic stem cells. This was, they harvested the stem cells from fat. And you say, how do you protect yourself? Well, these women, I think, did a lot of things right. They turns out the three women looked on clinicaltrials.gov to find a place that was doing studies on stem cells. They then went and did research to find out what they were doing at this place, and they looked at it, looked like it was a study. They signed up. They actually each had to pay $5,000, so they had to pay money to do this. So maybe that's the thing to look at, because you never have to pay money to be in a study, a real study. And then they had fat taken from their abdomen, injected into their eyes, and they ended up, these people who ended up being able to see pretty well beforehand, all were able to drive beforehand, ended up all blind. And the answer is, don't do things if you don't know the quality of the doctor, and don't do stem cells on an experimental basis unless it's done in an academic institution with real scientists who are really, and you have to sign a consent and you don't have to pay for the treatment. So the stem cells injected into your knee, probably not good now unless it's done in a real study environment. The stem cell or an academic institution, by that I mean a real university, not an affiliate of a university. Get it at, you know, the University of Chicago or the University of, or Vanderbilt University or the University of Tennessee or the Cleveland Clinic or the University of California, San Francisco, not at a place, quote, affiliated with one. Make sure there's a true IRB form, a institutional review board form. Make sure what, read the study over, get a second and third opinion before you do it. Talk to your doctor, get his or her approval before you do it. Those are the ways to protect yourself. You don't want to go blind. You don't want to have a knee transplant or a knee replacement. You don't want to have a brain injury from the stem cells that are adult and not pluripotent, or stem cell really injected in the order of making money for the person injecting them or the company injecting them. What it means for you, the Trump budget cuts NIH research dollars more than 20%, as well as you know, it cut Meals on Wheels. Well, that's just bad for society. Research funding is key to job progress, is key to innovation, and is key to our getting advances in science. Let them put in more money in the NIH budget, in the budget where they have to get real science approval. That's the only way we're going to get stem cells that really work and that are shown to work. It's the only way. You say, well, why do we do science? Doesn't it slow things down? Doesn't going through the FDA and research progress, that takes too long. Why do we have to wait? Well, you have to wait because it's the way of making sure, one, it's safe, and two, not only is it safe, but it actually is able to be given to you in a consistent way to show it will be efficacious and not just a wallet transplant from you to the company selling it. One more item I want to talk about, if you will, that is the odd omegas. Foods every breast cancer survivor should know about, are nuts healthy, and who should take omega-3 supplements. These were all stories in the news this week. So let's first go, are nuts healthy? Yes, Nuts are an incredibly very healthy snack food. Pack a big bang for the bite in terms of their nutrients and help you live longer. Research analysis of 29 studies in 850,000 people revealed that about an ounce of nuts a day, equivalent to a handful, gives you about a 2-year longevity benefit. Cut the risk of heart disease by 30%, risk of cancer by 15%, the risk of premature death from any cause by 22% by having an ounce of nuts a day. So yes, nuts are healthy. What are good foods that every breast cancer survivor should know about? Well, it is the cruciferous vegetables: broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, cabbage. In addition, kale, sweet potatoes, squash, those are all healthy. Salmon and ocean trout, beans and whole grain, all of these are healthy and should be de rigueur for breast cancer survivors. Breast cancer survivors who get to a normal waist for height, that is, their waist is less than half their height, eat healthy, do physical activity, manage stress, and avoid tobacco, have 80% fewer recurrences, independent of everything else, than breast cancer survivors who don't do those things. Physical activity, waist for height, eating the cruciferous vegetables, lots of fiber, lots of vegetables, salmon, omega-3 fish oil supplements, or DHA, which is a non-fish, it's from algae, omega-3, and getting that multivitamin half in the morning and half in the evening does allow breast cancer survivors to survive longer with fewer recurrences. And then the other article this week, who should take omega-3? Well, I've already told you that virtually everyone over the age of 50 should, and every woman who's potentially pregnant, because it helps with your child's brain power. So who should take it? It is the new report from the American Heart Association says virtually anyone at risk of strokes, atrial fibrillation, or heart disease, or who's had a heart attack, or who's at risk for one, which is just about all of us, should take it. All of us men over and women over the age of 50, and then all women in pregnancy-bearing ages, I think, should get a DHA supplement a day, along with half of a prenatal vitamin, half before, half after, because 50% of pregnancies are unplanned, and a prenatal vitamin decreases cancer rates in your child by 65%, decreases any abnormality, congenital malformation, if you started 3 months beforehand, by 85%, and decreases autism and autism spectrum disorders by about 40%. So, prenatal multivitamin, and that's who should take an omega-3. Wow, we've had a lot of this has been a great packed podcast, 8:32, and we started with the vitamin B is an unlikely weapon in the war against pollution, starting to tell you to take half a multi in the morning and the evening just for decreasing inflammation. Now we're telling you to take one to prevent pregnancy-relating things. We talked about loud sounds posing more of a risk. Wear safety protectors when you're going to go someplace with loud sounds, and that your kids aren't killing you. One day they may actually help you to live longer. And remember that nuts are healthy. And if you will, the Trump budget for NIH cutting it so much and changing the FDA, I don't think is safe. Talk to your congressman about restoring that. You've been listening to podcast 832, coming up shortly. No One Cares About Crazy People, the book by Pulitzer Prize winner Ron Powers, and the New York Times bestselling author of Mark Twain's life book. This is a great author, and I think this is a wonderful and important book. We'll be right back with that interview on podcast 832. And I'm looking forward to podcast 833's guest as well, Meredith Wadman, Next week, the vaccine race. Tune in then, too. Stay tuned, and thanks, Sonar, for great engineering on the first half. We'll be back with the second half in just a second.